one who grew up in El Salvador and married a local girl here, Glenn Miller's Regina, and who has returned with her and their family some years ago to El Salvador to minister there in the work of the children's home close to the capital, has come back. And by now the children have grown and they look so nearly grown. And we were blessed a year or two, several years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, to spend some time in their home. They were so hospitable and a joy to get to know better. And today it's our privilege to welcome Misael Aguilar and to pray for him as he ministers. Brother.
Greetings to you in the name of Jesus. It's a real privilege for me and my family to be here this morning and worship with you. I want to take a few moments to thank you so much for your support and prayers for us in the ministry as there in El Salvador throughout these years. We left in 2006. This used to be our home. For some of you younger, you probably think it's weird that I said that this used to be our home church, but it was. Most of my children were born in this place and grew up here for those few years. And they have a war after church in the basement. And some of you guys remember those days, and they grew up out of those things, and we're happy to be back with you. We continue working in Salvador at the Strong Tower Children Home ever since 2006. We're still there doing what the Lord had called us to do. At this point, we have 10 boys and 5 girls living at the home. 3 of them are members of the church, and others are in instruction class, and others, we keep praying that the Lord will keep touching their heart. So we thank you for all your prayers and your support, and God bless every one of you for being part of the ministry in different ways. This morning, I would like to speak or share a message with you about knowing God. And I want to ask you to open your Bibles in the book of Job. Book of Job, chapter 42. If some of you have problem understanding my English, let me know. I can try Spanish. Job chapter 42, we're going to read the first 5 verses. Then Job answered the Lord and says, I know that thou canst do everything and that no thought can be withheld from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me which I knew not. Here I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eyes see thee. Let's pray. Father God, we come before your holy presence this morning, and we beg from you that you please give us the anointing of the Holy Spirit to speak and also to hear, so we can so we can be instructing your word, and your will can be done in this world as it is in heaven. We love you, Lord Jesus, so we commend this time into your hands. We pray in the worthy name of Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We all like the story of Job because it's a story with a lot of drama. It starts with a man that, in his own opinion, he has a pretty good idea who God is. In fact, he did a lot of things to please God. He wants to please God. And I think he knows God. He has a pretty good idea of who is this God. But after going through all this process of afflictions and these hard times, we find these words that we just read. Deep down from his heart, he says, God, I thought I'd know you. I thought I knew who you are, but something had happened. It seemed to me like you are so close to me. I understand you so much that I feel like I see you. It's kind of, he had no words to explain this feeling that he had found because he had learned to know God in a different way, and he had no way to express it but say, God, it's like I see you with my eyes. I think we all Christians long for this stage where we can come to the point and say, God, how beautiful it is to feel your presence and to walk with you and to feel you are so close to me. But I wouldn't like to go through what Job went through to come to this point. But God in his great mercy often find ways to bring us to jump from the stage of knowing him to the point that we can, I see you, God. I would like to share this morning an experience that we had with our family that kind of helped us experience to understand a little bit of this, and I hope you, I hope to be able to tell you this story this morning. Some of you heard this story, some of you read it. I want to share it again this morning. And I pray to God that I had the strength to tell this story again because it's easier for me to, when I'm preaching, to say stories that happen to other people. But I find it hard to say stories that happen to me or to my family. So I want to depend on God for his strength to tell you this story. It was the year 2014. My family living in El Salvador, working for the home, my children growing. And me and my wife were getting fairly concerned that our children are growing up and they don't seem to be taking too serious the Christian life. And me and my wife, late evenings after supper, we just go walk for about half hour. And it's our time to talk about how we feel, life and things that happen during the day. But often we find ourselves talking that our children are growing and we feel like they're not taking the Christian life serious as we wish they will. Seems to us like they were taking their Christian lives too shallow. Too casual. Just they were Christians. They went to church with us, and they read their Bible and they pray, and then all these motions were getting done. But there was something that we can feel in our family that our children weren't taking the Christian life with the passion that they should. So we often talk how troubled we feel about this, and it was very obvious to us. Sometime when we are about ready to eat, we sit in the table and I ask some of my children, can you lead us in prayer? And sure, they pray, God, we pray you bless this food, amen. barely closing our eyes, and they were done praying. And we started feeling really uncomfortable with what kind of Christian life they are living. Why they pray, Mom and Daddy ask them, but they barely. And this concern would grow in our heart. What can we do for our children? I'm sorry, I dumped the water. I guess too nervous here. So we're wondering, what can we do for our children to help them to have just a deeper relationship with God? And we decided that we'll start praying about this. Because we teach them, get together devotional, we teach them the importance of just to know God, to live close to God, to enjoy God, not just to live by the motions. But nothing seems to happen. So we just decide we're going to pray. So me and my wife started this journey of prayer, and God helped our children know you in a deep way, not just going through the motion of the Christian life, but they can learn to know you. And in this seeking God and praying that he will find us to help our family to move from that stage of lukewarm way of living. We just pour our hearts, God, please help us. As we were just praying and seeking God about this, year 2015 came around, and it was the year where our family take a furlough to come to see our family here in the state. So we were very excited to getting ready for another trip. We usually travel by land from El Salvador to here, about 2,500 miles journey. But we enjoy doing those travels. So the children were very happy getting ready because we're going to see grandpas in 5 days driving. We are right here and we see grandpas and all this excitement in the air because we want to come to see family again. Well, the day came that we left the house, and because getting ready kind of get late for us, and kind of late in the evening we came to the border, crossing to Guatemala. It was dark, and for some strange reasons, there were no officers to seal our passport. So we didn't see anybody, so we just keep going. Along the way, we slept, and the next day we reached the next border, Guatemala, Mexico, and when we get to the border, the officer said, where are your stamps from the border before? And we told him, well, there was nobody there. We just keep going. Oh, he said, gotta go back and seal your passport because there's no way you can go through here. Or you can pay, something under the table and it's taken care. Well, we had to drive 5 hours back and 5 hours again or pay the bribe. I asked the family, what should we do? And they said, let's go back. Let's go back to the border, and we don't want to pay a bribe. So we start our journey back again to start the trip in the other Guatemala border. So we went, stamp our seals, and then we start again our trip back to U.S., with our seals, our stamps ready to come again. So it's kind of getting dark in the evening, and we would like to drive a few hours so the next day we can reach the other border quicker. And we were just kind of in our van. Regina was serving our supper. Regina had become a very skill of cooking in the van meals. All kind of sandwiches with different recipes. I don't know, you can ask her how that is, but it's enjoyable, it's good. good sandwich that we eat along the way. And Regina was serving supper, and we were just having a good time together as a family, traveling, kind of getting a little bit dark already. We just finished supper. Regina was putting things away. And as we were going in this Guatemala highway, it was a four-lane highway. And my son Joshua was driving. It's a big highway, so you go fairly fast. Not like you do here in this highway, but consider that the places there were pretty fast speed. And as Joshua was driving, all of a sudden a four-door truck with dark windows pulled in front of us, and then all of a sudden we had this truck in front of us, and we had to go bang. We hit him, pretty much stop on them. Joshua tried to brake really hard, and through the light, it was dark already, so through the light of the van, I barely can see a guy with his gun pointing to us, and I hear bullets everywhere flying. Like, it was just a mess. Bullets going everywhere, and I see the guy pointing to us with a gun. And it was just a whole, the children were screaming, and it was just a time where just so much chaos inside the van, because these people were just shooting bullets everywhere, a big noise. And in this frantic moment, Regina said, "Children, now we're going to be with Jesus." And all of a sudden, we had, these people were the robbers that want to steal him from us. So all of a sudden, three of these guys come into our van. They pulled my son Joshua out of the driver's seat and threw it to us. And one of them started driving. The other were with us with their guns. And at that moment, I knew my son Joshua was in front of me, and he was just—I knew he was dead, because how so many bullets! I saw the guy pointing straight to him, the gun, and so many bullets. I know he was laying down there in front of us. I was just kind of, I don't wanna miss that moment. And I was just there, just kind of frozen in that moment, and then. I finally just want to see him. And then he looked at me, kind of fairly dark there. I said, "Joshua, okay?" "Yeah," he said. He was alive and he seems okay. I was surprised. To me, he was laying down because he was dead, but he was alive. And the robbers took the vehicle and they started driving into this huge sugarcane field. And way deep inside the sugarcane field, really dark. They took 2 hours to take everything they can find on us, our bodies, our food, our everything they can find. But the way they did, where they took us into that sugarcane field, they... The older boys and me, they tie our hands and our feet, and ask us to lay down in the ground. And they lay us down in the ground in the execution style. So if you had, some of you have seen those newspaper pictures for crimes, how the people look on the road, that's exactly how they tie us down and lay us down. So in my head, I was like, "Wow, this is it." And they tied one. Another, I was the last one to be tied down and to lay down in the ground. And I remember really clear seeing my children really peaceful, lay tied down and laying in the ground, one after another. And then those guys used whatever they can find. They took our shoes, string, whatever they can find to tie us down. So finally they come to me, and they tie me down, and they, after being tied, they order me to lay down on the floor. So I remember kneel and going down and say everything that I can think about God, but I remember saying, God, here I come. I commend my life, my spirit to you. And to me, I was just ready that these guys are going to execute all of us right there. Especially because they moved my younger children, Virginia, to the side, and the older boys and me to the other side. For me, it was like they don't want the children to see us when they kill us and all the things that I know how they do things down there. I have seen so many pictures in the newspaper. So I kind of have a pretty good idea what was going on, in my own opinion. So they started stealing things from us, and after the first 15 minutes went by, I was surprised that they haven't killed us yet. Half hour, and we're still there, laying down dead. Nobody came in. After the first 3 minutes went by, I knew these guys are not going to kill us anymore because they would have done it a long time ago. So I started coming back to life again. It's kind of feeling like, well, maybe where they're going today. And I started noticing that these guys were very nervous too. They were very uncomfortable. It started raining. All of a sudden, it started raining really hard. And, I guess they were very kind to us because we usually carry blankets in our van, and they came and put blankets on top of us because we're laying down in the floor and in the ground, and raining was coming on us. They want us protected from the rain, so they cover us with blankets. Feels better. it was getting really muddy, though. But all of a sudden, some of the children started asking for water. One of the robbers came and gave them water. We had water in the van, so they use our water and bring it to Regina and the children. So, I don't know. These robbers probably were, I think they were kind to us. I don't know if it's okay to say it that way, but I remember when they see us, one of the guys came and told me, we're criminals, but we're not too bad. So, I think he probably wanted to tell me that they're not planning to kill us. He wanted to come for me somehow. And one of the robbers came and told Regina that we usually don't do this when the children's around, but we had to do it this time. And one of them came and took Regina's Bible and gave it to Regina and said, Mother, this is your Bible. It's like they were really nervous, and somehow they were wanting to see if they can make us our life comfortable as is possible in that moment. I don't know. But they were very uncomfortable doing what they were doing. So anyway, I was feeling like it was long enough that we were laying on the ground. So I started saying, hey guys, can we get up now? And they said, no, not yet. So we just quiet, laying down on the ground, and all of a sudden one of the robbers came and untied my hands. I was surprised that my hands were free. I was happy because it's to be 2 hours just in one position, it's really uncomfortable. So he untied me and my hands were free, but I was trying not to move because I don't want them to feel like I want to attack them back. They were so afraid of us somehow. And about 5 minutes later, I call again. Can we get up now? And it was quiet. Nobody answered. So I ask again. Can we get up now? Nobody answered. I said, guys, just get up. So the children get up. We just help each other to untie our feet, our hands, and the robbers were gone. And we were out there in the children field in the dark alone. And I said, we're going to pray for these people. So we just get together inside the van and pray God will bless these people. We pray that God will bless their families, and we just pray all the blessings that we can think of, these robbers. And after we pray for them, all we can think, all the blessings that we can think, we decide we're going to go. Because one of the robbers came and told me clear to my ear, the keys are in the mat of the driver, by the feet of the driver. So I knew that they leave the key for us. So I find the keys for the van, and I start the van, and we decide we'll start going now. But it had rained and was way out there in that sugarcane field. So as we start trying to get out, the van sunk in the mud all the way. So there's no way we can go anywhere. So the robbers stole our shoes, and we were way in the sugarcane field with no shoes to walk away. So we decide, well, it's a lot of sugarcane leaves can cut feet because they are sharp. So I told children, there's no way we can go anywhere with this van. We're going to walk to the highway somehow. So find something that you can put in your shoes and your feet, because we need to walk out of here. Well, they start finding whatever they can find to put in their feet, and it was very funny. In that moment, we didn't think about it, but later it was very funny, because some of them have one shoe of one person in one feet, and the other feet have a shoe for another person, and one have a sandal, the other one have a sandal and a shoe, and just whatever they can find in the moment, in the dark, and we start walking away. I had to walk on my socks, because they made me take my shoes off, and when I walk in my socks in the mud, my feet were very muddy, and all of a sudden I find my shoes. Somehow they left my shoes for me, so my socks full of mud, but I put it in my shoes, and we start walking out of the sugarcane field. And at that moment, God gave my children a strength to sing. And that is something that was so precious to me. I couldn't sing in that moment, because I just had so many things in my head. But they were just singing, walking out of the sugarcane field in the dark night. They started singing. Those beautiful songs. I get emotional when I remember those songs. But they just sing their way out of the sugarcane field, and first in the dark night there in the sugarcane field, I didn't know where's the highway and where to go. But I hear the noise of the vehicles in one direction, and I decide, well, this must be the right direction to go. But finally, when we reach the highway, I knew that people won't stop if they see us very muddy and the way we look. So Regina, the younger children, kind of were there to kind of motion the people to stop. And about 3 minutes later, 3 or 5 minutes later, a police truck came through, and they said they stopped because they saw Regina and the children. And me and the other children were frightened, because we knew people would be scared of me and the bigger boys in the dark, there along the highway, all muddy and soft. So the police stopped and wondered what's going on here. So we told them what happened, and they were really kind, really helpful, help us to. They took us to the police station for all the legal things. And they also helped us to find a hotel room. But you will find interesting that if you are very full of mud, all the hotels are closed, and or are full of people. All the rooms are there's no rooms empty for you. We came to the first hotel and we told them that we're looking for a couple rooms to sleep in. And they said, I'm sorry, but tonight we're so full, we had no room for you. And then we went to the next one and they said, I'm sorry, but you know, this is a night that a lot of people have come and we're so full, I'm sorry for them. Every hotel was full for us. So, wow, what do you do? Finally, the police officer said that, I'm going to go first. So he went in, and when we came to this hotel, he spoke. He kind of, he kind of explained what happened. And then I kind of lose hope that it was a nice hotel, nicer than that we have been before. So I kind of lose hope that they will give us. But this lady was very kind, and they said, "Yeah, we had two bedrooms for you. You can come in." So we started walking into the hotel, and Regina said that she was so embarrassed that when we walked in that nice clean floor, we just. We just made track of mud and that beautiful hotel, clean floors. And she said, "Oh, I feel so bad for those people because we just make a mess out of their hotel there with full of mud." And it was about 3 o'clock in the morning by the time we reached the bedroom and to have a little bit of time to sleep. So it's hard to sleep when you are going through something like that, but we tried to sleep the best we could. And the next morning, we were up and going early, and me and Regina get up and went to the next room to see how the children are doing. And this is something that this is what I want to share. The reason I want to share this message, this story, this is the reason, because me and Regina went to the other room, and when we came, we opened the door and we came into the room. Our children were kneeling down in the ground and praying. And me and Regina look at each other and wow. We just see our children kneel down, praying. Not praying because mom and daddy asked them to pray. No praying because they have to. But they were praying because they understand that there are times in life that there is no 911 to call for help. they had learned that there are times in life that there is no mom and daddy to go for help. These 2 hours being kidnapped in the dark night out there in the sugarcane field teach our children that sometimes in life, there is absolutely no one to call for help but God. And in that moment, me and Regina knew that God had answered our prayer. That picture of seeing my children praying. Praying because there is only God that can erase that trauma. There is only God that can meet that need that no human can meet. The children knew that we are a long way from the United States, from Guatemala, is far. and they knew that that we need God to accomplish this journey. We need God to heal. As we look at each other, me and Regina, and see our children kneeling, praying, pouring their heart to God, we just have to say, thank you, God. And God is good. God is good. God, very merciful, provide for us what we need to keep the journey going. And we came to the United States and have a good time with the family. It's a lot of things that we learned from that experience. I can say this morning with you that God is good, and that we learn very valuable lessons. I do not look forward to go through this experience again, but it had taught us God's goodness for our family. And as I see Joe expression with his heart, God, I know, I thought I know you, but now my eyes seeing you, I can understand that in the journey of life, he learned that there is more to God than just religion, going through motions. That is more to know God and to live with him and to feel his presence than just to a simple religion act. And We were created to have a deep relationship with God. We weren't created just to have a religion. We were created to live close to God and to enjoy his presence. And that's why when we live close to God, we feel deep peace in our heart. No matter how many books we read and how many technology we have, that nothing is going to bring us closer to God, because that is just a personal experience that every soul had to go through the whole Bible. God is allowing ways for man to know him and to be closer to him, pursuing man to allow his each heart to know him and to enjoy him, his presence. I really enjoy the verse of the Psalm when David said, taste and see that God is good. And this is the desire of my heart, that we all of us are Christian, can come to the point that we can taste and see that God is good. When trouble knocks our door, hard times come to our door, we can see that God is good. Hard situations are not made to turn us bitter to God, but many times it's to open our eyes and see him, feel him closer to us. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for the wonderful God you are to us. Thank you for the time that you allow experience to happen to us, that bring us closer to you to the point that we almost can see you. God, thank you for loving us so much that you want us closer to you. We love you. It's our desire to walk in obedience, listen to your call, and be willing to allow the hard circumstances to open our eyes and see you and feel you, the wonderful, loving God, who you are. So we love you, Lord Jesus. We pray in the worthy name of Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless everyone.